Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. Friday, 23rd. Friday. Wow, unbelievable. June, we are flying. Unbelievable. 2023 already. Jeez. It's pretty incredible times, but it's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. I'm here in Sydney, Australia. And joining me for a chat today on the podcast is James Rogowski. And James is jumping on the podcast with me today to just break down the not only the matrix type system that is being built around all of us right now, high tech, AI, transhumanism, but James is going to break down for us the WHO pandemic kind of treaty tyrannical power grab. And we know that's coming here in Australia because we went through this COVID response in the last couple of years, which was, you know, barbaric in some cases when you look at what the police did to people in this country and shooting people in their backs in Melbourne with rubber bullets. We've never seen this type of behavior, an attack against the public in this country, in our lives. It was really ferocious. And we've been discussing this power grab, which I think is I definitely think it's one of their next sort of big moves. And we discussed it one of the last podcasts with Senator Malcolm Roberts. And I discussed it with Meryl Dorey. And I discussed it with Dr. Rima Labor on the podcast. And a lot of this work and a lot of what I'm reading and seeing is pointing back to James's work. And I'm looking at James's work and it's kind of going around everywhere. It's in our Telegram feeds and a lot of people are putting it up. And I thought I would get the man himself on today to explain things because it's a little bit confusing for a lot of people. And we're onto it, but I tend to worry that a lot of people in Australia are kind of just happy to be out of lockdowns and things. And they're thinking that everything's going back to normal now and it's okay. And I don't think they understand this and the WHO and what is going on here. And it might be a bit confusing for them, but also what we stand to lose here if this sort of all pushes through. And so we've got a lot of pushback and fight back here. And we are getting the information out as best we can. So it's good to get everything clarified and broken down and settled here with James. And of course, James will come back on the podcast with me, you know, as we move throughout this year with any important updates and things like that we need to know. So get on my website, krazfiles.com. Everything's up there. You can contact me through the website. All our social media links are up there. So everything's working. A little bit of a hiccup the other week, but things should actually be working faster now. So we've done a great job. Thank you so much for the folks out there who are emailing in and your support. It's wonderful. We do have a little members over at Buy Me a Coffee. The banners are up on the website. It helps me to go forward here. I do this by myself. I don't sell anything. So a membership is a good way to help me run and keep everything going. And so plenty going up, lots of articles. I put a bunch up last night and I'm over doing the Night Watch podcast for the members on Buy Me a Coffee as well. If you want to jump over there and the chat's back up on the website as well. So just log into there. You'll see it on the top toolbar there with the categories. Log in there and just leave as much information as you want. It is an info war if you want to look at it like that. We are in those times where we need to share information, and that's why they're coming down so hard on us, because they want to try and stop us from doing that. New Zealand, Australia, now Ireland, US, Canada, very harsh censorship, and all of this have censored us the whole time. So we do our best to survive here, navigate forward, and push information out so we can get people on deck here, because very important times, a little bit scary, I know, but important times that we keep going forward. James, good to have you on with me in Real Independent Media here in Sydney, Australia. If I am correct from what you said, because we couldn't get on last week, but you said you're in Los Angeles, and so good times to be chatting with you. I haven't had you on the podcast before, so maybe a little bit of an intro to who you are and your work. And then maybe I'll get you to sort of break down what this means for people who are jumping on the podcast and maybe thinking, what does all this mean, the WHO? Maybe go through the bullet points of what this actually means, and then we'll work through to the end of the podcast today, sort of talking about what's going on, what their moves are, what's happening within this organization, what their next moves are going to be, and what we can do to stop it. So how are you going, buddy?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yes, I am in the Los Angeles. I am in the Los Angeles area. Hope you can hear me fine.
Good.
We're headed into the beginning of summer, and so I guess that means you're headed into the beginning of winter. And all of this information that I've been writing about the WHO over the last almost year and a half now, yes, it's confusing. Yes, it's complicated. But on another level, I think that if in our conversation, if we can compartmentalize it into about four different topics, it'll help people keep it clear. Because what's been happening is many people in the media are discussing this, and they're cross-pollinating the information from one issue to another. And so about me, you know, in many ways, I'm just a normal guy. At some point in the past couple of days, somebody asked me in a friendly way, they said, you know, how did you get involved in this? You know, are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? And then they said, again, in a friendly way, they said, well, you know, what are your credentials? And I said, well, I've read the damn documents. And quite frankly, that's really what it comes down to. A lot of people are talking about this issue, and what they're doing is regurgitating what someone else said, who regurgitated what someone else said, who regurgitated what someone else said, and they maybe have not actually read the documents. And so a year plus ago, I got dragged out of bed by some force in 4 in the morning on March 28th of 2022, and I went searching on something, you know, for the internet, on the internet, and I came upon an article, and it said that they had obtained a document, and the word document was highlighted. It's a hyperlink. So I clicked on it, I downloaded it, and I started reading it, and I got a shiver down my spine, because I knew enough about the topic to realize that I had stumbled into something really important. And so what I'd like to do, if you're game for this, is break this down into four compartments. Number one is just the history of the WHO and what we're talking about, to give it like a broad context. And then most people are unaware that last year, the WHO and the delegates who supposedly represent the 194 member nations, they did adopt amendments to what is known as the International Health Regulations last year, to the same International Health Regulations. They're currently negotiating very much in secret. And the fourth compartment is what most people talk about, but they don't actually talk about what they should be talking about. They take all of the stuff that I just mentioned, and they say that all of the things that are associated with that are part of the quote-unquote pandemic treaty. Well, really, if anybody says pandemic treaty, you really got to stop, and you should expect that what you're about to hear is probably inaccurate information. Because number one, it's not a treaty. Its official name is the WHO CA Plus. And that name means something, and it's different than what people think of when they think of a treaty. I'll give you the punchline. I won't keep you guessing. C stands for convention, A stands for agreement, and plus stands for something that is very frightening. A convention is just like a general overall agreement. And so if they set forth the general terms and they get an agreement, the plus means that going forward, a conference of the parties, which are a group of people that you don't elect and you don't control, they get to write protocols that are added in the future onto the framework convention that was agreed upon. That's treacherous. And so if I could break it down into those four categories and go forward, I'd like to start with the history, if I may.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So every nation is a little bit different in the specific time that they joined up as a member nation with the WHO. I can speak very clearly about the United States, but most nations, it's very similar. And so going all the way back 150, almost 200 years, if you think to a time when there was not indoor plumbing and there was not septic systems and sewage, you know, pipes and sewage treatment plants, and people used horses for transportation. There wasn't indoor plumbing, so cleanliness was a bit of a chore. You had to go find water somehow. And there was, quite frankly, a lot of manure laying around because of the transportation was primarily horses. And so sanitation was a root source of a lot of infectious disease. Fast forward to World War II, they had enacted a number of sanitary regulations. Indoor plumbing started to become more common. Septic and sewage treatment was more common. Horse manure wasn't laying around everywhere you went. Yes, now we have air pollution maybe from automobiles, but you didn't step in it and bring it home and into your house and all that sort of thing. And so by World War II, you know, afterwards when the WHO started, after they got started in 1951, they adopted all of these sanitary regulations. By then, most of the infectious disease rates had really plummeted. A lot of the problems went away just due to sanitation. And then they started jabbing people and gave jabs all the credit for problems that had pretty much mostly been solved. And so when the United States got into the WHO, we passed, or the people then passed, a congressional joint resolution. It was not a treaty per se that went through our Senate the way most people think. President Truman signed it, and there were a couple of very interesting pieces in that resolution that are very important. Number one was it said, well, we're happy to join the WHO and, you know, we'll contribute money and help and all that, but nothing that the WHO says is an obligation or a requirement upon us in any way. Happy to be involved to help. And if they have advice that they want to give, that's wonderful, but there's no obligation to listen to what they say. And that's really important. That's the foundation of the relationship. Okay. Well, in 1969, that relationship changed a little bit. The sanitary regulations got rolled into a new agreement, and they changed the name to the International Health Regulations. They made a few changes in the 80s and 70s and the 80s, but then they made a lot of changes in 2005. And there were a couple of very important changes that were made. One of the changes was that it created an office that every nation must have in their government structure. So I've come to look at that as that's when the WHO infiltrated every nation on the planet. Very quietly, they got every nation, to create a national IHR focal point. It goes by a slightly different name in every nation, but if you do a search for Australia IHR focal point, it'll show you most likely in your department of, you know, health ministry, that you have an office that is responsible for surveilling Australia and reporting back to the WHO. Now, that type of surveillance is maybe not what you immediately thought. They're supposed to surveil to make sure that if there's any outbreak, you know, if there's SARS, if there's bubonic plague or rubella or measles or polio or something like that, or an increase in disease or death, they're supposed to report to the WHO as soon as possible. Well, one of the other changes that people miss is that the manner in which amendments to those international health regulations could be adopted and enter into force really starts back in 1948, at least for the United States, because the legislature passed a resolution that said that the president would name the delegate. It's not like the delegate is elected by the people or even elected by Congress or by Parliament. So that power was clearly shifted over to the executive branch of government. And so the reason that that has meaning is that the rules, according to the international health regulations, are such that if the delegates decide to amend the regulations, that's all that's needed. There's no presidential signature or prime minister that needs to sign, or a foreign minister. There's no vote by Parliament or Congress. If the delegates decide and nobody actively rejects whatever changes they've decided upon, currently an 18-month period goes by and those amendments enter into legally binding force after an additional 6 months. So there's 18 months to reject them, and then 24 months when they were adopted, they enter into legally binding force. And so moving forward to last year, and here's where I'm going to maybe stop talking about the history. That brings us up to last year. We got involved in this WHO as an advisory organization. We agreed to the international health regulations in 69 and made some serious changes in 2005. And in my view, a certain amount of infiltration into every government around the world was done very quietly in 2005 with this national IHR focal point. And so where I came in was last year, as I mentioned earlier, I discovered a document, and I had previously written an article about the WHO and what was at the time a discussion about the pandemic treaty, which is not a treaty, but that's what everybody calls it. And so on March 24th of 2022, I had finally published just a monstrous article about all of the many proposals about this proposed pandemic treaty. And a couple of days later, I discovered this other document, and it was totally different. It was about the amendments to the international health regulations. And I go, wait a minute, nobody's talking about this at all. And so what had happened is it was being negotiated by a working group, or discussions along those lines were happening. But the United States submitted their proposed amendments on January 18th, 2022, to the WHO. And they never published it anywhere on a United States website that I've been able to find to this day. Now, maybe they did somewhere, but it just can't be found. I found it on March 28th, and they didn't get around to actually publishing it on the WHO website until April 12th. To be considered at their May meeting. Well, there were 13 articles that were being amended by the Biden administration, and word spread. I did everything I could, you know, to raise awareness of it. As it turned out, I was interviewed by a gentleman who was a pastor, and he was connected to a group of pastors in Africa. They spread the word to the politicians that they knew. And I think essentially what happened was so many documents get presented in the run-up to all of these meetings. They were alerted that they should probably really pay attention to this particular document. And I think they already had been, but the awareness was definitely raised. And it became clear that they were not going to have anything to do with it. And so the bulk, the document that Biden had proposed, they love to work on consensus where they can get up in public and present the document. And they know that everybody has already agreed to it. So they get to just say, all right, we're considering this document. Does anyone have any objections? Okay, great. We adopted it. And off they go. Well, it was clear that that was not going to happen. And so to save face, a group of nations, including Australia, submitted a new set of amendments, one of which carried over from what the Biden administration had proposed. And those were adopted. And almost nobody knows that that happened. And they're changing international law. Your delegate in Australia, our delegate in the United States, every other country, they all agreed to it. And nobody ever said anything to any of the people in any of the countries to this day. And so there's an 18-month period where any nation could reject those amendments from last year, but they've kept it pretty darn silent for 13 months. 18 months will be about the end of November. And so in Canada and Australia, there's already been a petition in Australia. It ran for 30 days and it got over 55,000 signatures. And we're waiting for it to be presented to Parliament. In my view, it has been forwarded by the petition committee in the Australian Parliament to the wrong committee. They've sent it to the health and I believe it's aged care committee, but it really should go to the joint standing committee on treaties, because none of this stuff is about health. It's all about surveillance. And so most of the members of Parliament are completely oblivious to the fact that they don't have authority to control this. This is in the hands of the executive department of the government. And they keep saying, oh, don't worry, you know, the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties will certainly review anything, you know, that might be international agreements. And they simply do not know what they're talking about. And the petition committee forwarded it, in my view, to the wrong committee to be reviewed. And you're never going to hear any of this on the media. Now, the changes that were made last year are relatively minor, but yet they're also very important because they would shorten the period of time that nations would have to reject the next batch of amendments. And you have to ask yourself, why did they do that? What are they trying to ram through? And so there's moving on to the third compartment that I mentioned. So the first one is the history of how we got here. The second one is amendments were adopted last year. The third compartment is when they adopted those amendments last year, it actually kind of opened up Pandora's box. And all of the nations realized, well, hey, the United States is trying to change the rules. How about we all try to change the rules? And so they put out a call to all 194 nations. And they said last May that by September 30th of 2022, all of the nations should submit any proposed amendments that they might have for the next meeting, you know, to start being discussed. And so by September 30th, a total of 94 nations submitted 307 amendments. It's about a 197-page document. They kept it secret until mid-December of 2022. I found out about it in mid-December, and I published it, and I've been talking about it ever since. They've had many, many, many negotiating meetings in secret, and they have never once published a revised view of what they're doing. They let it slip. We had a meeting on Tuesday of this week here in the United States where we, the people, got a chance to give our public comments to our delegate and kind of let it slip that there have been additional submissions, meaning, you know, they're negotiating these and things are changing. Well, they gave us an opportunity to comment on the original submitted documents, but those could be all old news by now. That was 6 months ago. We have no idea what the status of the negotiation is right now. And that's, we're doing a little better than most nations because at least our government knows that we're paying attention and, you know, we're not having it. Okay. And so the status of these 307 amendments, I'll mention maybe just five or six of them because we obviously don't have time to go through all 300. You just go right down the list. Bangladesh proposed an amendment to the first article, which is just definition of terms. They would change the definition of the word recommendation, which currently is defined as non-binding advice, and they would cross off the non-binding part. Malaysia proposed amendments to Article 42, which would make recommendations mandatory. And so you just look at that, and even the International Health Regulation Review Committee final report said, well, wait a minute, if you change the meaning of the word recommendation to a legally binding obligation, that changes the entire nature of the document, and it changes the entire nature of the relationship between the WHO and the member nation. They're no longer just an they would no longer be just an advisory organization. They would be able to boss every nation around and say, this is what we recommend, you have to do it. The second article explains the scope of the regulations that they're supposed to apply when there's an emergency. Well, the definition of an emergency right now is pretty lame. You know, if the director general pretty much wants to declare an emergency, there's nothing to stop him from doing so. But they want to change the language that he could do that if there was just the potential for an emergency, which is just absolutely absurd. The third article is, or the change to it is the most egregiously crazy one. The current language says that the regulations are supposed to be implemented with full respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. Which when I first read that a year and a half or so ago, I'm like, okay, that sounds okay. India has proposed crossing that out. And on May 22nd at their meetings at one of the roundtables, one of the co-chairs of the working group for the amendments, Dr. Abdullah Asiri, clearly said that, well, whenever there's an emergency, you know, we have to restrict your liberties. And, you know, I'm sitting here watching this person say that, realizing that he's responsible for shepherding these negotiations to their final conclusion next year. And he thinks it's acceptable to restrict your liberties when they declare an emergency because there's a potential for a problem. Now, if you don't see something really wrong going on here, wow. Okay. Now, Article 4, Russia has proposed an amendment to it. Now, I mentioned that earlier. This involves the National IHR Focal Point Office that has infiltrated, the WHO has infiltrated into each nation's government. the amendment from Russia would require each nation to enact legislation to empower that office to implement all of the other obligations for all the other amendments. And so all you have to do is look into a law that went into effect last year in Western Australia, and it may have done so in other states in Australia. It gives power to emergency personnel to commandeer your automobile, commandeer your property, destroy your property, quarantine people, force vaccinate people. I mean, it's just, it's outlandishly dystopian, but it's on the books as a law, even though it's in violation of every human right you could imagine. They're just waiting to use it. And so the biggest concern in the amendments is a whole series of amendments to a number of different articles from a number of different countries, primarily the European Union and Indonesia. They want to institute a global digital health security network. Most people would call it a global ID or a vaccine passport, but it's more than that. They would have a prophylaxis certificate, a vaccine certificate, a testing certificate, a recovery certificate, a traveler health declaration, and a passenger locator form. They want all of that to be digitized so each nation could, you know, set whatever requirement they want and have people get an individualized QR code, essentially so they can track and trace everybody in the world and restrict your movement based on whatever criteria they would put forth. Going right past your right to bodily autonomy and saying, well, you're not allowed to travel unless you do this, that, or the other thing to your body. Now, number one, the thing that they call tests are just blatantly fraudulent. They're just not what they're purported to be. The jabs did not stop transmission, did not stop infection. And actually, you know, more and more evidence is showing that they have negative effectiveness, which means you're more likely to be diagnosed with the problem that it was supposedly going to stop. And so that whole system is just completely and totally flawed. So bad, I put up a whole webpage for it, rejectdigitalenslavement.com. And so I'll stop there on the third compartment, which those are all the amendments that are scheduled to be voted on next May, but they have to submit them by January because their rules require them to do that 4 months in advance of the meeting. And so the point behind everything I've said so far is that Parliament, Congress, the Senate, or whatever the legislative body might be referred to in whatever given nation, they have no idea that they don't have the power to stop this process. They think they do, and they might have the power to adopt a resolution to ask the Prime Minister to reject these proposed amendments after the fact. But we've gotten ourselves into this position from what happened way back in 1948, or depending upon the country. The power has been handed over to the executive branch, handed down to the delegate to speak for the nation and potentially this unelected, unaccountable, unknown person makes decisions for the world. And then if they just keep it quiet, currently for 18 months, but then maybe for 10 months, their concept is, well, silence is consent. And all I can say is for the last year, I'm not been silent. I'm trying to get everyone else to realize that if you just do nothing, then they're going to do these things to you. And so I'll move on to the fourth compartment, And I know I'm going off on a rant. I hope it's all good. You still there?
I'm here, buddy.
Okay, I'll be happy to keep going. I'll polish it up with
I'm here. That's okay. You keep going. Sometimes you get a little bit of a delay on Skype, so it's best you go through all these points for all the listeners out there. So I'm here just taking notes and listening in. So you go through all the points that you need to. It's very important.
Okay, so any of the things that I've mentioned so far are absolutely, completely, and totally separate. That's all about amendments to the international health regulations. What has been happening over the last number of months, actually more than a year, is people in the media, people in politics, and just people in general are mistakenly taking all of that information and attributing it inaccurately to something that should not be called the pandemic treaty, but that's what everybody calls it. Okay. And so if you've heard anything about the pandemic treaty, I would say that the odds are exceedingly good that whatever you think you know about the pandemic treaty is wrong. It's probably not what you think it is. And until you've actually read it and see with your own eyes what it actually says, don't believe me, don't believe anybody in the media, don't believe anybody talking about it, don't believe your politicians, because they probably haven't read it either. And so it's gone through many forms. There were dozens of proposals going back several years. They published a working draft in July. Then they published what they call a conceptual zero draft in November. Then they published a zero draft in February. Then they published an unedited, or it snuck out, an unedited draft of what they call the Bureau's text. And then finally, on June the 2nd of 2023, the WHO published the Bureau's text of the WHO CA+. And so if you're hearing anybody talk about the pandemic treaty, and they're not specifically saying that as their reference point, they're using the June 2nd WHO's, you know, or the Bureau's text, the WHO CA+, at best, they're giving you old news, and at worst, they're crossing it up with all of the amendment information and talking about something that they haven't read. So be careful, okay? Don't believe anything I say. Don't believe anything anybody says. Read the documents and see for yourself what they actually say. The evidence is available, okay? I've put all of that up on stopthewho.com, and it's on the WHO's website. They make it really hard to find. One document is here, another document's there, another document's someplace else. So my summary of what the WHO CA+ is, number one, C stands for convention. I think I mentioned this earlier. Agreement plus. They would like to have a general framework agreed to, and then have the ability to add protocols to it later without anybody being able to say anything about those additional protocols. That alone should be enough to just flat out say no. That's ridiculous. Gives lip service to freedom and rights and sovereignty and inclusivity and equity and transparency and so forth and so on. The bulk of the agreement, if you will, is in Chapter 2. And essentially what they want to do is get up to $30 billion a year to build out the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex in developing nations. They want developed nations to help developing nations build a series of laboratories to do genomic sequencing. They want to employ what they call the One Health approach to be able to test to find genetic material wherever they could possibly find it. Stick swabs of people's noses, go to your veterinarian's office and test your pet. Go to your chicken coop and stick it in the bedding or your sewage treatment plant or your hospital or anywhere they could imagine in order to identify some snippet of genetic material that they would bring into their computer database and with some algorithm claim, oh, look, we found a new variant, or, you know, there's a new form of polio or Ebola or Marburg or whatever they might say they found. Send it off to a lab center, their hub in Switzerland or Germany, where they would have what they call a pathogen access and benefits sharing system, turn it into drugs or jabs, and essentially put fear into the community wherever they may have identified this, and I'm just going to say supposed pathogen. If you understand how they do this, it's not what you think it is. So the end result of the bulk of this CA plus agreement is not really attacking national sovereignty. It's getting nations to agree to throw money into a fund to build laboratories and all of this infrastructure. And the end product would be fear. They want to find something that they could then use to scare people with. Now, that then would transfer over to the director general, who could declare an emergency for any reason he wants if there was just the potential. So, you know, if they found something and they said it was polio in a septic system somewhere, they could say, oh, that has the potential to be very dangerous. Then they would share that information with your nation's national IHR focal point office. Well, that's your nation. Your nation would then do whatever that office would have been, quote unquote, legally authorized to do. So the trick that they're playing is very skillful, very crafty. The WHO CA Plus is just a venture capital prospectus contract to build out infrastructure to go looking for things to scare you with. They're not making anybody do anything. Once they find something to scare you with, your own people in your own nation would, according to them, have been given authority by your own legislature to abuse your own people. So they're playing a very skillfully crafted linguistic game. And Article 18 in this document is all about censorship. Every media outlet should be screaming up and down, left and right about Article 18 in the WHO CA+. Article 19 explains the funding. And it basically says the nations who agree to this will, you know, put in money. The manufacturers that produce pandemic response products are encouraged to donate. And all of the foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations and other non-government organizations would be putting in money. But then you turn the page to Article 20, and those groups are the same groups that would get positions in the conference of the parties that would decide how to spend that money and how to operate this agreement going forward into the future. Well, they would not necessarily be elected. You probably wouldn't even know who they are. And they would be able to write and adopt protocols that are details as opposed to vague frameworks that, according to the wording as it is right now, would never come back to the nation for any form of approval in any way, shape, or form. They would just get to decide how to spend all that money going forward into the future. And so a lot of people are getting this all mixed up. It is got a lot of detail. I think I've written probably 100 articles about this already, and I certainly don't know everything. One of the things that I have done is work with people all over the world. A lot of great folks in Australia. We've been working together since December. A lot of people in Australia know, they understand what is going on. They've put together Australia Exits the WHO.com, Australia Exits the WHO.com. Encourage everybody in Australia to just check out that website, get in touch with, you know, people there. The reality of it is, they're building these, meaning the WHO is building out these systems. They're not waiting for the negotiation to come to its natural conclusion. They've already announced that they're building the Global Digital Health Certification Network. They got a lot of used software from the European Union, and they're going to take that and try to implement it globally. They're building out their laboratory network and their genomic sequence hub, and they want to have a logistics network to distribute all the products. They want 10% of all of the products manufactured to be given to the WHO and another 10% to be given to them at an affordable price. And so they're basically trying to enact a cabal that would be given power over this industry that would generate fear as part of a cartel to control the money and then, you know, have just a profitable industry where they're always testing and looking for the next thing to scare people with. And so if you thought the last 4 years were bad, when the WHO was simply an advisory organization, and, you know, potentially those recommendations could be turned into obligations, their current budget for everything they do is about $4 billion a year. They're asking for $30 billion a year to build out this infrastructure. And so if you thought it was bad over the last 4 years, just wait if they implement the things that they're talking about. So I'll come down off my soapbox. Thanks for listening. And any questions and such, more than welcome.
Thanks, buddy, for all that great information. And insidious, isn't it? The slow creep of this, it really defies belief. And what I'm seeing here in Australia as well, and everything that you're saying, it all adds up because they're building these facilities now. They're building them in, Melbourne and Brisbane, these laboratories to manufacture more of these technology and jabs and stuff. It's all moving very quickly. And a lot of what I look at and what happened here, 2020, 2021 and winter and 22 into there, and it all adds up as to what's coming. And that's what I try to tell people, you know. Don't get too relaxed here, because what we witnessed in this country and what happened in Melbourne and what they did in Sydney with the lockdowns in Perth, as you mentioned, the powers that this guy gave himself over there, and they're all jump ship too. You know, I think Dictator Daniel Andrews is about to jump ship. All these, wackos and weirdos and freaks, these chief health officers, Kerry Chant and Brett Sutton, they never had any authority at all. I mean, the whole COVID response was not just completely illegal and probably broke every law that we had, but if we look at the government under Scott Morrison at that time, they were having these cabinet meetings that weren't even federal. They were just going in behind closed doors, and then these weird, quirky chief health officers were coming out on TV and just locking down cities, just doing whatever they wanted, you know. And I look at all this now and I see it was just like a drill. It was like a test for what's coming. And I think this is the calm before the storm, like you were sort of alluding to there earlier. I think that we all think that, oh, everything in Canada, they're apologizing now for how they treated the unvaccinated. But when this comes back into play, it's going to be far worse. And I think people need to look at what happened here in Melbourne and what they did in the last few years and not think that, oh, everything's okay now. We can just sail through and we can just put that in the dustbin of history, because I think you need to look at that as a testing case, a drill for compliance and all sorts of things. You know, they tested everything. And we know that Melbourne was an experiment too. They tested everything, how many people would protest, you know, how many people would want the jabs, how many would, who would say anything, even in the media. They were tracking and tracing every single step of the way. And now they know. They've got their little bubble. It's all encapsulated. And they know exactly what they're doing. And I look at what you're saying and how it all starts to make sense and just how insidious and sneaky this is, and exactly what you said as well, fear. It's an operation of propaganda and massive amounts of fear, and fear controls, you know. And I think people, they've scared them, you know, with these so-called pandemics and whatever they want to make up, but with the lockdowns and everything that happened, they scared people. And I think that's in people's psychological deep mindset, you know, in our psyches. And I think people are trying to go along with their lives, but I get that feeling that when they say there's another one, another pandemic or anything, it's going to trigger people, just like the masks, you know, take them on, put them off, take them on, put them on, take them off, you know. And people would, and then they wouldn't, and then they would. They just trained people. It was like a big game of Simon Says. And I think when they come back and say, you got to do this now or that under what you're talking about, then people will kind of, a lot of people automatically do that, not understanding what's really going on here. And so it is very, very incredible information that you've gone through there. And as again, I say how sneaky and slow building it is. It's incremental, like drip feeding. And they're just changing it. And just quickly going back to Australia, yeah, that was rogue here. It was absolutely rogue. That was the thing that was amazing. We even had big law firms come out and say, you don't have to do these things, because they're having these national cabinet meetings with these premiers and they're coming out and saying this, it's not federal, it's not in our law, it's not in the Australian Constitution, but they did it anyway. The police did it anyway. They attacked people anyway. They brought the military in. I don't remember a full bird military general being on ITV doing Operation COVID Shield. I've never seen that in my life. The military don't act in that role here. You never see them. And here they are on TV talking about going into nursing homes and having this campaign. Honestly, like in 21, I thought the military were going to come up our streets. And they did in Sydney and other places. But I look at it all now and it was all an operation of fear. It was to get you to comply, to do something to your body that you wouldn't normally do or you don't want to do. I have friends and family who all went through it and they did it. They took a bite of that poison apple of fear and they went into this, and we didn't. And I knew it was all about fear, and I told people, just hold the line, they're scaring you. And now it's all retreated in the night, you know. The wolves have all sort of backed off, but we have what you're talking about. And we can see this is a calm, and if we don't say anything or we don't do anything, they're going to take that as a big yes. And this is going to come in to play, and I am guessing we just won't be able to get it out then. It's like a stranglehold, James. They're forcing us into a corner. And we're running out of places to move. So what are your thoughts on what do we do now in Australia and the US? I am seeing some pushback in the UK and other places. I think just general people and politicians and that are saying we can't do this. We can't have this outside entity just come in and do what you're explaining there in the podcast today, you know, and just give away all our bodily autonomy and our rights and everything. And as I said, if people think that was scary, what happened in Melbourne and Sydney and here in Australia, think about this. And they can call whatever things they, whatever Tedros wants to, whatever they make up. And though, as you said, exactly, they'll use fear to make it look really bad, you know. And so they just scare the hell out of people again. And then boom, 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 they got you. And I think the next lockdowns will be for unvaccinated. And I think that if you've had their jabs and you do what they tell you to do, you'll be able to kind of move around in these zones and you'll have to go online. We had that in Australia. Just to go across the borders, you had to go on and get these special passes. It was all a test. They tested all of this stuff, the digital ID and everything. It's all into play. They've got it in people's minds. But I think people just are not having it. And I look around the UK, the US, Australia, a little bit less in Canada and New Zealand. But I look around and I see that people are onto this. And now we're onto their game. And too much of this is being exposed. There's too much of a spotlight on it, whereas before it might not have been like that because of your research and what a lot of people are doing. Everything they do now with this, it's being highlighted and talked about and shared. It's just that we've got to make sure that people are getting the correct information, as you say. So finishing up today, what's your thoughts moving forward? What do we do to stop this? And what are you seeing in regard to what I was just explaining there about your country and UK and Australia and stuff? Do you get a positive feeling from the pushback that you're seeing in the governments even? Because we've got a lot of great people in our government here, senators and, you know, One Nation, Malcolm Roberts, Senator Antich, just so many now around the country who are saying, no, we can't do this. And they've got huge followings. If you just go on Twitter, some of these guys, and a lot of people are discussing it. I didn't see this a while ago. It's really incredible. It's taken off like a wildfire now. What's your thoughts on the pushback? What do we do? And what are you seeing in relation to us getting out of this?
Well, I'm actually exceedingly optimistic for a number of reasons, not the least of which you've already mentioned. If they had their, you know, ideal way, we wouldn't even know that they were having these discussions. They would just be doing it in quiet. If you actually have seriously paid attention to what's going on, they're arguing amongst themselves. I think they've sown the seeds of their own destruction. They've pitted the developed nations against the developing nations. And in the latest meetings, you know, they're not meeting head to head in any kind of overall agreement. They're going to have an awfully difficult time working out the differences of opinion amongst, you know, imagine trying to get 194 of your friends to agree to anything. Okay. It's not going to be an easy thing for them to do. The simple fact that we're talking about this, you know, across hemispheres is a very wonderful sign. I've spoken with people in many nations around the world, and the groups that have organized on their own and connected with me, I've put them all on exitthewho.org. So if you just go to exitthewho.org, don't do a search for it. Search engines are not your friend. Just type it into your browser, exitthewho.org. If your country isn't listed, and obviously Australia is, it's actually right at the top of the list there. You can go directly to australiaexitsthewho.com. But if your country isn't on the list, you know, or organize a chat group, or, you know, put forth a petition, put up a page on a website or something like that, I'll link into that with your group in your country. And it's amazing how this has spread around the world, Europe, Africa, South America, you know, everywhere. And so I'm not saying it's easy. If I had to predict the future, which I really don't get into speculation I can say with great certainty the WHO and all of the affiliated organizations, they're doing what they're telling us they intend to do. It doesn't take a psychic to read their document that they're developing a global digital health certification network. They're developing a laboratory network. They're developing a pathogen access and benefit sharing network. They're developing a logistics network. They're, you know, trying to put in place censorship and funding and all that sort of stuff. Okay. They're going to build it. The question is, how big do we build the resistance to the thing that they are building? Okay, great. They implement it. If one tenth of one half of, you know, the population percent, you know, one tenth of one half of a percent people oppose it, well, we're going to get crushed. But if we work diligently for the next year to teach people what is really going on, and I was very much, I'll just say I felt wonderful on Tuesday where we had this listening session with our delegate, and everybody who spoke clearly was in command of the information that they were speaking about. They knew what the government and the WHO and all of these negotiations were all about. And so I am absolutely confident that regular people who look at this information come away horrified, but they're entirely capable of understanding it. And what that does is it gives you an advantage over your politicians because they're not willing to actually read the damn documents. All they do is regurgitate the propaganda that somebody told them to regurgitate. And every letter that they have sent in response to people, constituents sending them an email, every email response back is incriminating them as having no idea about what's really in the documents, what's really going on. And so when constituents who know what the facts are send an email to a member of parliament and the response that comes back is wrong and condescending, man, if you want to get people fired up, take somebody who knows what they're talking about, be met with their public servant lying to them and being condescending about it. That riles up the population more than anything, because that's not what the job of a public servant is supposed to be. They're supposed to serve their constituents, not tell their constituents to go away. It's all going to be fine when you're concerned about documents that are, you know, are going through their legal documents, are going into force, and in one breath they send you a response letter that says, oh, don't worry, nothing like that could ever go through unless the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties reviewed it. And here last year the very thing happened, and there has not been any review for 13 months. They simply don't know what they're talking about. They say things like, oh, don't worry about the amendments, that's all been handled, while time is passing and they're entering into legal force. And so what I encourage people to do is take this audio recording and just share it with everybody you know. If they don't care, if they don't want to look into it, move on, share it with somebody else. Read as much of the information as you can. You can comprehend what they're doing. And when you know that you have the actual evidence in your possession, you've downloaded the documents, you print them out, you look them over, you highlight stuff that jumps out at you, nothing that they say that is just lies and propaganda will have any impact on you. You won't be afraid. you'll be upset that they're lying to you. And when we get enough of the population properly informed, I'm an absolutely peaceful person. There is no need for violence of any kind whatsoever at all. This is a mental, psychological head game that they're playing. And I think that average people are smarter than their public servants, because their public servants are lazy. And if people just apply themselves and learn what the truth is, that knowledge will give you a sense of power over your so-called public servants. And when you know what your rights are, and you know what the paperwork says, and you know what they're trying to do, they've got nothing. And if we all come together and support each other in getting to that point, they will build their systems, and we will tell them what they can do with their systems, because we will know what our rights are. And so many people will know that the people that they want to enforce it will just not be able to do so, because they will know that it's not actually legal. It's an attempt to take over control of people's minds, and we have to win that battle. We have to inform our fellow men and women about what's going on. It's not easy, but I have every faith that it can be done.
That's right. It's so crazy, isn't it? It's not a written or signing thing. It's like a spiritual thing, you know? It's like with everything this system does, you know, when we watch TV, it's like this contract we enter into of the mind, you know, and by not saying anything. If you watch TV every day in the news and you never question it or critically break it down or have that awareness of what they're really doing and your mm-hmm. self-awareness, you know, it's like you're mm-hmm. contracting with them, just like with the Hollywood, you know. It's all like casting spells on us, you know. And this is the same exact thing. And I think, yeah, if I look at the COVID response, it worries me here in Australia, because it was very brutal compared to the US. You guys had more rights and everything. And I spoke with people in the US when we were getting basically attacked here. They attacked us. I mean, it was vicious. And they weren't going through that at all, like we were here in New Zealand and Australia, and Canada copped it as well, bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And as you said, if we don't say anything now, if we just, they just want us to, I guess they're going to entertain us, or bread and circuses, you know? Mm-hmm. People just don't want to get locked down again, and they're not looking at the bigger picture, but people are going to go on holidays again. They got their lives back and all of this. My life was never up for negotiation. My life was never theirs to go, you get this jab and I'll give it back to you. I don't think so. But people kind of looked at it like that, and now they're having their holidays. They're going to the snow now in the winter and everything. And we're on dangerous ground here, because they want us to just forget, everything. What happened? Oh, sorry about that. You know, didn't mean it. We're all buddies now. And then time's going to pass in the next year, and all this is going to kind of fade in. And because we didn't say anything or do anything, they're going to see that as a big yes, as we said. And we don't want this at all. So what we need to do is be a big pain in the ass, a thorn in the side of this system, as you were talking about there, and get in their face and let them know there's no violence needed, but we have to let them know that we know, and we're not going to have it. And we're going to scream this from every roof that we can. That's what we need to do. And I think that's how you push this back. Not saying that it won't come back later, but if we can push this back and push them out and not have this, that will give us all time to regroup and restructure and move forward in a better way, more positive way. But we can't just go to sleep at the wheel here, because we'll wake up and they'll be at the wheel. They'll be driving our lives, you know. And we don't want that. And nobody wants that. I don't care if these people love the masks and love their 5 and 6 jabs. None of that matters. Do it for your kids, our future. We don't want this. None of us want this. This is a terrible proposal. And as you said, I look at these people, these things, whatever you want to call them, and these creatures, these entities, and what they're trying to do. And I look at it all now, and boy, they're desperate. And I think that when you go for too much and they're trying to push this so hard, this whole Agenda 2030 system in, and that's just a part of Agenda 2030, what they're trying to do, it's all all part of the one bubble. And if you have a look at it, it's massive. And you have, it's, I think they're trying to push it through too quickly. And it's spooking people, which is what we want. And it's forcing people to ask more questions and get in their face more. So this is incredible times. And I do have a positive feeling here. And I don't think anyone wants to go back to what we went through. I look at people like Joe Biden, and I just think treason, just criminal, what he's doing and his administration are doing is unbelievable. Before we wrap it up, just a quick thought on Trump. What's going on here? What do you think if he comes back into play here, and politics is a big game, I know, but if he comes back in, some of his language I heard before was very interesting. He's the only president that I saw get up there in the world and say, we're going to withdraw from these organizations. We're funding them. We don't really need them anymore. Put that money back into our own systems. What do you think will happen here? Because obviously with this Joe Biden, he's just a reflection of the puppets we have in. And with the Green parties, they're all communists. It's just never been so poor and rotten with our political structure and systems. You guys do have a lot of things to protect you over there with your Bill of Rights and everything. We don't want to see an end to any of that. Well, what's your thoughts moving forward here? If we were just to look at things politically, what do you think will happen in America? It's a bit polarizing, isn't it, with the elections coming up?
Well, I'll wrap it up with a different view, okay? It doesn't matter who's elected if the population remains unaware of the truth, ignorant of it, and complacent about it. If we recognize that the job is that we haven't been doing our job, okay? Our job in a representative government is to demand that our public servants serve the public, not some other power or themselves. And so, regardless of who ends up being the president of the United States in 2025, they have to know that the public has come together and is clear on what we want, and that they will do what we want, not the other way around. Does it matter who those people are if the public is all broken apart into many different factions and can easily be put into a state of fear? Okay, there will be forces in the government and the hierarchy, regardless of who's elected into office. The people have to get stronger, more unified, more aware, and more clear on what they want, so that we keep our public servants in line. Otherwise, they'll get out of control regardless of who they are. And so the job at hand is to get reconnected to our fellow men and women, unify together with a common idea of standing up for our rights and our freedom against any quote-unquote government. Think about it, government, control of the mind. We have to get control of our own minds. We have to govern our own mentality. We have to think more clearly about what we want. And then those head games that they want to play on us will just not have any strength or power whatsoever. It's an info war, not to steal anything from Alex Jones, but it is a war of information and psychology. And people need to be stronger mentally in order to combat that war. World War III, you know, hopefully is not a hot, you know, war with guns and tanks and nuclear weapons or any of that sort of thing. It's a head game. And we have to get our heads out of the video games and the media and all of the, as you said, bread and circuses. And we have to think and understand what they're doing to our minds. And when we get that straightened out and we come together and unify, they will not have a chance, because that's all they have. They don't have the numbers. And, you know, we just have been separated over the last 4 years. We need to come together and be very, very clear on what we want, and what that is our freedom.
Absolutely well said, buddy. I agree 100%. And I think at the end of the day, too, I always say, I think we're creating this reality that we see, you know, all around us, 100%. And I think that's true, what you said there, you know. I think the system just sort of, it just floods our minds with so much propaganda and fear, and then we project that out, and that creates the reality we see around us every day. These politicians and people work for us. We pay them
to be in those
seats.
Every day, every day, every minute, with every thought.
Every thought.
Think about what it is. Think about the future that you want.
That's right.
Don't regurgitate the future that they want. Don't think about what was. Learn from what was, but every day work towards, you know, controlling your mind, you know, be your own government, right? Control your thoughts. Your thoughts will control your actions. You share that information with other people. This is, you know, nobody said it's going to be easy. They're not going to just roll over and stop trying to control people. But when each and every one of us gets better connected to many, many, many other people, and we join hands together with the idea of what we want for our future, which is really very simple. You know, we want to be able to live our lives freely. I have every hope. I mean, I have every beyond hope. I have every confidence that they're going to try to do what they're going to try to do, but the resistance is going to cause them to fail. And then we will be in charge of our own lives. We will have learned the lesson of having almost lost that freedom. And I think the world will be a much, much, much better place. But we have a lot of work to do. And so I'll leave you with a couple of things. AustraliaExitsTheWho.com. And you can go to ExitTheWho.org for anywhere else in the world. And my phone number, James Roguski, jamesroguski.substack.com is where all my articles about this are. And my phone number in the United States, +1, you can use phone, text, Signal, Telegram, WhatsApp, 310-619-3055. Get connected to me if you have any questions. I'll do everything I can to help you out.
That's right. I'll just put the shout out to our alternative media friends here in Australia. That listen to the podcast. If you guys want James to come on your podcast or shows to go through all of his work and all of this, you can reach out through there, and I'll put all this information up on the podcast description. Need to get James on lots of podcasts in Australia as well, and media. You know, if all this big Sky media and people, if they're really on our side, you know, then we need them to be, we need to force them to start talking about this, because the coward mainstream media won't. But we need to start forcing them to. And I think they will eventually. They'll have to, because it'll become too overwhelming. And, you know, it's their rights as well. Not that they care too much, but I think that we just need to force it out there until they have to take notice, because it's just going to – the alternative media now is taking over the MSM, the corporate media, and they know it. They don't have anyone really following or interested anymore, and they're just going in this vicious circle of lies and nonsense. And to wake up and to really have any relevance anymore, they're going to have to get on board with all of us, and the alternative media is becoming huge.
Well, and beyond that, I encourage each and every person to be the media. Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
If you've listened to this audio and any of it makes sense to you, you have however many phone numbers you have in your phone. You can text each and every one of those people a link to an audio with an encouragement to listen to it. You have however many emails you have in your email account. Who in the world would you want to keep this a secret from? Share it with everybody. Ask them what their opinion is. Don't try to convince anybody. Just make sure you share it with everybody. If you listen to other alternative media, share it with them and go, why aren't you people reporting on this? Share it with absolutely everybody. Share it with every member of parliament, every public servant you can imagine. every other alternative media that you could reach out to. And the reality of it is a certain percentage of people won't care, or they will think it's a conspiracy theory, or they will have whatever opinion they have on it. Okay? Tell them to call me, right? I'll do the talking for you. Don't waste your time. They can give me, if somebody has listened to this and they don't believe anything, give me a phone call, 310-619-3055. Let's discuss what this is all about. Be the media. And if you want to see what other people have had to say, you can go to screwthewho.com, screwthewho.com. There's several hundred videos of people who have recorded their thoughts. I've collected it on that page, screwthewho.com. These are regular people around the world who have just spoken up and said, this is what my opinion is. Each and every one of you who has a phone with a camera on it knows how to do a selfie. You can videotape your opinion. So you don't need to listen to me. You have every freedom in the world to speak your mind. I encourage you to be the media. Put your video up on whatever video platform you prefer. Put it up on a whole bunch of them. Send me the link and I'll put it up on my platform. And we'll listen to what you have to say about all of this. Because if you're silent, that is as good as giving your consent. So just don't be silent any longer.
That's right. You're contracting with them. With your silence there. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well said, buddy, and that's absolutely right. But with your authority and your research and everything, for those who are doing podcasting or any kind of alternative media, get James on the show, reach out to him. He'll jump on with you, organize a time. I'm doing it here in Australia. So it's easy to do. He'll come on and explain all these things and we can get that out to people, because I can sit up on my podcast and kind of waft on all night, but it's better to have the absolute concrete facts and the way that it is delivered and that it's done properly, so that people can get this information, so we can start asking the right questions and getting in their faces. So very, very interesting times. We've got a lot of work to do, as you said, buddy. You know, neighbors and people all around me who don't even know what the WHO is. So we'll just keep going.
Well, you know, appreciate the opportunity. And
we're plugging out today. And as I said, I'll put all your links up and everything, be a big one. Send them all through to me and I'll put them all on the podcast description. And we'll get you back on again soon. When you feel like there's information that you need to get out, and I'll keep in contact with you via Skype and stuff, and then we'll jump on and we'll get that information out to the people. But stay there, and I'll just end this podcast now. And thanks for everybody out there for listening. Please share, and good to have you on the show today, buddy.
Will do. Thank you so much.